name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Seems as though our readings might be a little bit about getting lost and found. And as we look at this letter perceived to be from Paul by many to Timothy, it falls within a group of three letters, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, known as the pastoral epistles. They're pastoral letters. And Paul, we're just going to say Paul, some people want to argue that, but not me, is reaching out to members of churches, people that he's worked with and walked with. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "To Timothy, my loyal child in the faith." So he's writing this specifically to Timothy because what is happening within the churches is there is a struggle with false teachings. And a lot of these false teachings have to do with the fact that those who are now proclaiming to be followers of the way, followers of Jesus, these are people who were primarily Jewish, and they keep struggling with this concept of the law in the midst of being Christian. And then there were those non-Jewish people who had come in, and of course they struggle with the people who were Jewish. You know how the church is. And there's a struggle in some false teaching. Things were getting a little bit mixed up. And of course, we can't hardly fault them for that, because we all know that over a period of time, when you're moving along and doing something new, and it gets a little difficult, and you're not yet sure what to do, we just do what we've always done. Amen? Well, because that makes sense to us, even in the context when it may not. But that's what happens. So these folks are in that situation. And Paul is reaching out to Timothy, and he's trying to help him regain his understanding. As we know, Paul was arguably the greatest missionary of the entire Christian church. Amen? Churches he founded, those communities, you can still find them. That's good work. God clearly was using him. He was a clear witness of God's grace. The way in which he was called by the Spirit of God was quite dramatic. And this is what he has to say initially as he starts to talk about. He talks about the false teachings, and now he's kind of past that. And being a good missionary, Paul gives his witness. "I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief." That's his elevator speech. His witness. Interesting thing that happens in our world and in our church, honestly. I went to seminary. That's good news for you. And they do teach us to preach, although I really didn't care much for the way they thought it should be done, so you've probably already figured that out if you've been to other Episcopal churches. I was basically told, you don't add your witness to a sermon. That confused me a little. And I said, okay, that's fine. Because strangely, Paul, arguably the greatest missionary in the history of the Christian church, couldn't shut up about his encounter with Jesus. What he was before he met Jesus, how he met Jesus in the Spirit of God, and what he was after. That is literally the formula for giving your witness. Amen? That is exactly how you do it. If you've never put your witness together, just answer those three questions. Make it as long or short as you need for whatever situation you're in, that's your witness. And that is what Paul does over and over and over. And he's sharing this with Timothy when he is struggling and when the church is struggling. But we have to begin to ask ourselves, what does this really mean? And for me, it means this. Paul's story is my story. Now, I don't own a horse, and so God has never knocked me off of one and left me blind for a few days so that he could get my attention. But he has certainly, in other ways, captured my attention. But we have to hear what Paul is saying, brothers and sisters. Because we have a story too. I have a story. And it comes out in bits and pieces, and some of you have heard it, and maybe some people have heard it and don't come here anymore, hard to say. But the fact of the matter is this, that we are trained in the church often, or we have chosen somehow within the church often, to not embrace this concept that Paul is sharing today. Now, this happened pretty early for me. I used to be the volunteer youth minister in my parish, and my priest, one of my priests, came to me and said, "Brian, you need to stop sharing with the youth group about your past and your use of drugs and alcohol." "But that's my witness." He goes, "But you're not that person anymore." Well, that's easy for him to say. He's not living in here. Now, I'm not that person, so to speak. But I am not that person by the grace of God. Amen? And I told him, I said, "No." Because here's what he didn't know. At that time, in the youth group that God had called me to lead, there were two youth under the age of 18 struggling their way through recovery and sobriety. And you know why they were able to be there? Because I could witness to the grace of God into their very same problem. I could walk with them, but only because I was willing to share my witness. That's what God does. When God has reached into you and changed you, and you know it, I promise you, as you go into the world, the people who need to hear that witness that is yours because it's their story too, are the ones he's going to put in front of you. So I am saying to you, by what God has done, what Paul is doing, and what I am saying to you today, brothers and sisters, is you are a witness. God uses your witness. And after Paul says that he received mercy because he had acted ignorantly in unbelief, verse 14, chapter 2, he says, "And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." He was a persecutor of this church, the Church of Jesus Christ. He literally had paperwork and authority to hunt down people like us who believe in Jesus Christ. And God took that misplaced passion, put his hand on Paul, saved him from that sinful direction he was moving, and made him the greatest missionary the Christian church has ever seen. Amen? That's what God does. And I know that we fight with it and we struggle with it. We all do. I do. But listen again as he continues. Verse 15. "The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Paul said that, not me. Although I probably am, too. That's the truth. Very simple. Very clear. But we live in a world where the world looks at the church and thinks, maybe the church is of interest, but then people are afraid to come in. People always say, and I know you've heard this, maybe you've said it yourself, I know I have, if I walk into a church, it's going to fall down. Right? Anybody ever heard that before? Anybody ever said it? Yeah. Well, so far so good. And I just want to let you know the roof was leaking before I got here. That was some other sinner's fault. Not this one. But the reality is, we come into the church, and the church teaches us things like was tried to be put into me out of good understanding and maybe a law unspoken. Don't talk about what you used to be, Brian. You're not that person anymore. Brothers and sisters, when I do that, the people who are still like me trying to figure out what God's doing with them, and they are stuck in their sin and their brokenness and their pain and their sorrow, when I say, I'm not that person, they say, well, then there's no place for me because I am. I walked with a young man many years ago. He's not so young anymore, neither am I. I was working in a program that was helping fathers be better fathers, which I got into because, well, I needed to be a better father. Many of you well know I became a father at 17 and again at 19. Strangely, because of that very thing, I knew in the depth of my soul that the church wouldn't have me. So I said things like, well, if I walked in there, it'd fall down. And in the midst of this, after discovering that was false, God put this young man in my life. And part of our routine was you fill out this checklist of unhealthy behaviors in your life. And we're sitting in a small group, and we all filled out our checklists, and I was leading the small group. And I said, well, what'd you put down? I'm not going to say. Okay, well, you don't have to. Because I'm not going to say because I saw how you checked your sheet off, and mine's the exact opposite of yours. And at that moment, I said to him, just because these behaviors are no longer a part of my life doesn't mean they didn't used to be. Doesn't mean they weren't before. They just aren't now. And he and I became friends. And many years later, I was driving down the road, and he calls me, he goes, are you driving? I said, yes. He goes, I need you to pull over. And I'm thinking, something's wrong with one of the kids. And I said, okay, I'm pulled over, what's up? That's when people used to stop when they were using cell phones. And before Bluetooth. I had to call you to tell you I got baptized this Sunday. And I said, that's amazing. I'm so glad you told me. He goes, I have to tell you because all those years ago when you met me, you could have judged me and you didn't. And all the things, even all the years up until now, and all the things I did, and all the times I failed, every time I reached out to you, you were always there, and you never judged me. And a big part of what happened for me yesterday at church is because you walked with me. And I could walk with you because you never hid your journey from me. This is what God does, brothers and sisters. God does this, not me, not you. It's literally his plan. So all those folks that are out there and you hear them say, well, I'm not walking into that church, it'll fall down. And then the next person's like, yeah, oh, me too, blah, blah, blah. Here's what they're really saying. And this I know for sure too, because I used to say it. I used to sit on the outside knowing that the church wouldn't have me because I was too sinful, too damaged, and too broken. And I stood outside, and I stood out there long enough that I just had to find some way to reconcile it with myself. So I convinced myself, the church won't have me, therefore God won't have me. So I just reconciled myself to saying, I'm not one of those people. And those people aren't like me. Because I never saw the flaw. I never saw the brokenness. And then one day I did. And like that small child who has done something wrong and knows they've done it wrong, and they come to the parent or whoever's in charge and overseeing them, and they're shaking and they're trembling and they're weeping and they can barely speak, and they tell you what they did wrong and they fall apart. Do you know what I'm talking about? And us who have authority over that child for whatever reason, as their parent, their teacher, their grandparent, our heart breaks with them. We don't excuse the behavior, but we take them and we say, it's okay. I got you. I'm so grateful that you said this to me. Let's fix it together. That's what God does. How do I know? I stand here, having gone before my Father more times than I can count, and many more to come, breaking down and broken, saying, here I am again. And every single time he says, I'm so glad you came to me. I got you. Let's fix this together. And he does, time and time again. Paul knew this. As he says at the end of the last verse 15, talking about the sinners and then saying, of whom I am the foremost. Paul says this, but for that very reason, I received mercy. For the very reason that he was the foremost sinner, who came before the risen Lord, for that reason, Paul says, I receive mercy. So that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience. God is so patient, and God is so good. He has been all of that to Paul. He has been all of that to me. And it continues. Paul says, with that utmost patience, with that mercy, with Christ foremost in his life, this God is doing, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. My God, how can we stand before that God? In our brokenness, we don't have to. We can fall on his mercy. He's going to say, I'm so glad you came to me. I can fix this. With you, I can fix this. So when the world seems broken and damaged, we're not seeing the broken child. who's ready to come and fall on the mercy of the authority that is going to handle whatever their mistake was. When we see the broken world fighting back, we are seeing a broken people just like us, who are afraid that God isn't big enough, loving enough, patient enough, merciful enough to handle their sin. And just like when that small child comes and your heart breaks and you know you still have to correct the wrong, you do it out of a deep and abiding love in a way that builds that child up. God approaches us with a deep and abiding love to build us up, to be a witness to His grace and mercy, to His love and His forgiveness, His patience. A witness, as Paul has been a witness and still is, can you imagine giving your witness, your elevator witness so long ago in a letter and have it still being spoken of today? I can. Each of us should. When we get our own and we sit safely in the pew waiting for that day when we will be with Jesus and don't give our witness, brothers and sisters, that's not the call. Paul's story can be yours too. Paul's story is your story. I don't know where you are in it, but it's still yours. And listen to what Paul does after all of this. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. That's our God. I don't care what the church has taught you about giving your witness. I don't care if it offends those who tried to teach me. I don't care if you're a little bit embarrassed if somebody finds out. I don't care. And you shouldn't either. You must tell your story. You must live your story. Because just like Paul, he's making you and me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. If we keep our mouths shut and hold this Jesus for ourselves, people will die. You've already joined the team. Be a witness to the glory of God, so that he may be glorified and others will come to know.